Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That's right, from sea to shining sea, and doing it all for a nominal fee.
Wow. Where'd you come up with that one?
I thought we lived it. Great to have you with us. See, now you're going to use it.
I may.
I mean, you're going to use that now. You're going to go on Lawrence's show tomorrow, and you're going to use it.
From sea to shining sea, and right. For a nominal fee.
You had to go out. He said, look, first of all, we're on the internet.
That's right, we are. Yeah.
We're on the internet. We have the podcast. In fact, if you missed our Matt Shepard interview with the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball, that'll be on our podcast. Tomorrow, we're going to have on Wheels. Thursday, Dick Girardi. All which will be on our podcast if you miss it at any point. And so since we're on the internet, which means we are worldwide, and we have had calls from Maryland.
Emails from Tennessee.
Emails from Tennessee, California. So here we are. Nice. On the 10,000-watt flamethrower, from sea to shining sea, and doing so for a nominal fee.
Can't argue with it. It's accurate in many different ways. I just hadn't thought about it.
And you're going to go on, and Lawrence's show tomorrow, and Lawrence is going to get blown away by how clever you are.
No, he'll know it didn't come from me.
Probably right. Dave in Sunbury at 1-800-795-9565. Hello, Dave. Good afternoon.
Hi, Steve. Probably right. How small is that nominal fee?
I'm very happy with what I know.
With what you receive, huh?
Yeah, I actually am. I am treated extremely well and very fairly by the organization.
What you receive, huh? I just came in and caught the tail end of you talking about calls and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to wholeheartedly agree with you that, hey, you could have lost the game in the first 10 seconds of stupid plays or whatever, or at the end, or anywhere in between.
Well, I mean, a lot of it comes down to what you do. Do you hit shots? Do you get rebounds? Are you the first one that hustles and gets to a 50-50 ball? In football, you're in the right position. Are you fooled on a play? All right, you have a guy wide open, do you overshoot him? You have a guy wide open, he drops it. I mean, there are a lot of factors along the way that create then that one be-all, end-all situation where you as the fan feel you got ripped off because of an official. Now, in football, penalties cannot be reviewed, but plays can be reviewed that are not penalties. So that's a bailout for the officials, and that helps them a lot. But at the same time, basketball doesn't quite have that. They don't quite have that.
Well, that's like I said about, I thought about, when you were saying about football, I thought of that interception Michael Marty had in the end zone and how he ran up the sideline. Got tackled and his knee went down around the 2-yard line.
Right. I mean, I called it a touchdown in the play because obviously he dove into the end zone. So you call it a touchdown. It turns out his knee was down in the 3-quarter line or something like that. And it ends up being the right call. Now, we also saw two official reviews I've seen in the last couple of years where the replay booth didn't get it right. One benefited Penn State and one did not. The one that benefited Penn State was the Purdue game where Nick Suke, Jack and I looked at the replay. We both thought he trapped the ball. We both thought he trapped the ball, and it stopped a Purdue. The replay official upheld the call on the field of an interception. Jack and I looked at each other, and we knew that that was not quite right. And then there was, of course, the layman call at the goal line against Nebraska. They didn't get that one right either. So even in replay, you don't quite get it right sometimes.
Yeah, 6-1, it just happens.
Right, I mean, so, you know, it does it cost you? Yes, it does cost you. Now, let's go to the layman play. Layman could have really helped out by not having the ball knocked out of his hands. Okay, where, like, there's no dispute. Right, so there's no dispute if he hangs on to the ball. He crosses, then he gets it. He hits the plane. There's no doubt the tip of the ball goes past the plane and the goal line. But Matt could have really helped in the play by not getting stripped. How about that?
That's exactly right. So I'll hang up and listen. And you have a good day.
You have a great day, Dave. It is an issue, though. It is an issue. When it comes to, and again, there isn't a single quarterback club I've gone to or a single hoops club I've gone to where the coach has not been asked about officials. I mean, everyone. There has not been one I've ever gone to where a question about the officials has not come up. Now, it is a closed room, so it gives the coach a little more freedom to talk about it. But with Twitter and today's social media, I think you have to be on guard every second. Every second with social media today, you have to be on guard. Those days where the coach can let down their hair and talk frankly to the group of supporters, where it's not going to get out, those days are over. They're done. Social media's killed it. They've killed the opportunity for someone to be frank with an audience and let them know how they feel, because it's going to get out, and it gets out, you get in trouble, you get fined. Da, 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 da. Can you believe what he said? Now, you know, I mean, that's what happened with this Ed Rush thing. It was a private meeting. Now, it did not get out on social media. It got out a different way. It was one of the other officials or somebody else in the room that got it out there. So we know about it. But the days of the ability to stand up, I mean, for example, for me to stand up in front of a group, and I have told them, this is now pre-social media, so this will be message board time, all right, where I've been able to get up in front of groups, and I didn't want what I said to get out on a message board, all right? I just didn't. In part, because there's two reasons for that. Number one, I wanted to be really honest with the audience that paid their money to be there so I could tell them exactly what was going on in practice in the preseason. It was in Harrisburg. And I didn't want it to get on the message board. Well, he said this, 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 and this. And I'm telling them all things that they didn't want to get out. How about that? Who's what, where, why, what's the depth chart, the whole thing. So I wanted to have a nice, frank conversation with these people who paid good money to show up and see me speak. And this guy was writing it down. And I looked over. I said, what are you writing it down for? I said, this isn't going on a message board, is it? And in the end, he had to admit, yeah, he was going to put it on the message board. And I said, no offense. I said, but if you do that, then I'm just going to pull back and I'm just going to give you generic answers. Because I didn't. If I want on a mess, I would have posted it on a message board. How about that? But these people paid good money to be there, have a nice dinner, and to hear me frankly talk about what was going on. So that when they left there, I wanted them to feel like they got something for the time and trouble that they gave to be there to be with me. I wanted to make sure they had something where it was worth the trip for them, worth the evening out. Penn State fans, basketball fans, Penn State fans in general, where they got nice, direct, honest answers about what was going on. And the guy stopped writing, and he did not, by the way, post anything on the message board. He did not, which I appreciated very, very much. So social media has its pluses, and one of the pluses would happen to be you are a graduate of Shikellamy High School. you are now working in the Susquehanna Valley. Somebody you were very close to is now working in Marin County, California. Through Facebook or whatever, you reconnect. That is the real plus to me of social media. Huge plus of social media. Allowing people who have lost contact with one another to reconnect, find out more, continue that friendship, rekindle the friendship, whatever it happens to be. Or people who are of like mind. You feel a certain way on a certain topic, feel like you're alone in the world, you're like you're the only person that feels that way, and all of a sudden you get on a social media site and you find out there are other people that feel the same way, you have an exchange of ideas. Again, another great use of social media. I don't really need to see a Twitter account that tells me, Bullia Base, great, love it. I don't really care. But to each his own. Somebody out there might. But, for example, in Kevin Ware's case, the young man who broke his leg, there were several fake Twitter accounts. Of people pretending to be celebrities wishing him well in his recovery. LeBron James, people like that, who had not sent anything out yet. And LeBron James, by the way, is very good when it comes to using social media to, hey, wish somebody well or congratulations, did you see that happen? You know, things like that. And that's fine. That's a nice way of doing it. But you then have the ones that are the fakes. And also, the usage of social media to constantly criticize people. Does it make you feel, and I'm not talking about, you know, our audience, we don't have people out there that do this. But we talked about the other day, what was that your son used?
Troll. Internet troll.
Internet trolls. You know, there are people, let's go back to the message board part for a moment. People get on message boards and they put out their opinion. But at least these are people that are putting out their opinion that they're really passionate about. Let's just take it from a Penn State point of view. Penn State football. They're passionate about Penn State basketball and they want to get into a discussion with them. Now, again, that like-minded social media I was talking about. So I think that part's great, pro or con. I think that part's great. But then you get the trolls in there who try to stir up trouble, and they just do it just for their own personal gratification of stirring up trouble. That part of social media is wrong, and that's where social media goes too far. Now, what this means in terms of back to the officiating part of it, again, too often, whether through social media or into talk shows or a message board, the officials get crushed. Officials have a tough job. I don't get every call right when I'm announcing it on the broadcast. They don't get every call right on the floor or on the field. Football has a little more leeway. Because there's more replayable things compared to basketball. I still have fans coming up to me complaining about the Brad Barr's holding in the Ohio State game on the punt. And which I understand. It was a key play. There's no doubt. I mean, the game is a real game at that point. They just stopped Ohio State, and Penn State's getting the ball back. With the stadium going wild and a lot of momentum. And it sucked the life out of the stadium, and it sucked the momentum away, and Ohio State was able to seize the moment, drive downfield, and scored on the drive. Big play. Tough call. So there's no doubt that there are calls along the way that are pivotal in allowing the game to be swung one way or the other. No question about it. But at the same time, in the full scope of the game, there are so many plays that your team controls that swing winning or losing far more than what an official's call will do. The Iowa State fans were irate about the Aaron Kraft call on the bulge. Irate about it. Yet their team got crushed on the boards down the stretch. Crushed. Gave Ohio State how many second chance opportunities? That's where they lost the game. Your thoughts. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And the Hilschers General Store Hotline, powered by Hilschers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. You can go to www.hilschersstore.com. Love to hear your comments in a moment as we continue at 1-800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2009 Ford Econoline cargo van E150 and a 2004 Volvo XC40 four-door twin turbo with four-wheel drive, both with the lowest price promise, so you gotta call 888-536-8017. 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS reduced to $15,943. 2011 Subaru Legacy four-door sedan, just $21,498. And a 2010 Chevy Equinox four-wheel drive LTZ, $24,998. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
I feel bad I haven't answered Ryan's question. Ryan was kidding with me in an email about what else the Yankees and Sox yesterday. And he's right. I've transitioned so much in where I enjoy games and so forth. And I was giving Kevin a hard time yesterday about being, you know, the king of fantasy camp. You know, I was saying, look, I want my teams to vanquish the opponent.
And you got your wish.
But he, you know, in the serious part of his email, because I, you know, he understood that we were, you know, the entertainment part of what we were doing yesterday, was about the quarterback situation. This is what happened with what's happened with the quarterbacks so far. They are both. What's great is that yesterday went really well. Yesterday went really well. They're better now than they were 9 days ago. And that's the great part of this. They're both better now. Crisper, sharper, good, you know, better reads. Still have ways to go. I mean, Bill's going to tell you that they still have a long way to go at the quarterback spot. But they're both getting better. They both have really good arms. They're making good reads. While they make a misread, but they're making some good reads. And they're both getting a really good handle on the offense. So that part's good. My opinion, I doubt highly you're going to hear, you know, last year it was obvious to me at this point that Matt McGloin was going to win the starting job. And that's one of the reasons why Bill O'Brien said about this stage last year that I'll name a starting quarterback. And my sense, there's not going to be a starting quarterback name coming out of here. And then Ryan asked about Christian Hackenberg, whether he'd have a shot. If he can get a grasp on the offense, then he'll give himself a shot. But you have to get a grasp on what's going on. One of the things I think that both Bench and Ferguson are doing a better job of right now, but still have a little ways to go, is they both need to be a little more accurate in throwing the ball. And I'm talking in space. I don't mean station to station, boom, I run here, get to a spot, you throw to the spot. They're fine at throwing to a spot. The key is getting the ball in a spot where it leads the receiver into yards after the catch. Every once in a while, a receiver has to go back, get the ball. Okay? That's just a question of getting comfortable in what you're doing and more reps. More reps will create better accuracy. And the accuracy is improved on both in just a 9-day span. But I'm going to sense and guess, and if Bill decides to go a different direction, then fine. He knows exactly what he's seeing better than I do. It's going to be my sense there will not be a starter named coming out of the spring, which then opens the door for everybody once the fall rolls around. The question will be is how quickly Christian Hackenberg would then pick up what is going on in the playbook and then the practical application of it. It's a complicated offense. It is an NFL-style, pro, complicated offense. So Ryan asked about the quarterbacks. That's where they are. They both are... I think they're both much better now than even 8, 9 days ago, 10 days ago. Now, does it mean they're home free? They're far from home free. They both have a lot of work to do. But the progress they're making shows you they're getting to the point where you're going to have some optimism about the quarterback spot until you actually see it in a game. Now in the game will be obviously the acid test. The question is, who gets to take the first snaps? Still have 9 more practices to go. 8 plus the blue-white game. Next one's tomorrow. We're in the Sombre Motors studio. Final half hour coming up.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brutal out, 39 degrees. It's April.
Did Mother Nature take a nap?
Tomorrow's going to be 39 as well. But then we're going to get some mild weather coming in Thursday. I like that.
I'll tell you what, it is tough to play baseball right now.
Yeah, you were telling me you had practice last night. It was not an enjoyable experience.
It was not. It was cold, so the kids really couldn't hit because you don't want to damage the $300 composite bats now because you can't use those under about 50 degrees anymore. And with the wind blowing the way it was, you had to throw the ball toward third base to get it to first. I mean, the wind was bad.
Right. That's awful. The odd thing is this is a winter that just has not ended.
This is our punishment for last spring.
Well, last spring was weird too. Because if you recall, we got that really warm spell. I want to say it was in January. I mean, really warm. Right. It was in the 70s where it was prolonged. It wasn't a January thaw. It was prolonged. And buds started coming out on trees, and then we went back into winter for 6 straight weeks.
Right. That's all right. I've been seeing all over Facebook a wanted poster for the groundhog.
somebody wanted to sue it.
Like, I have to admit, the wanted poster was pretty funny.
I mean, you want to sue a rodent? Yes.
Wow.
But it has not been pleasant out there. Well, Ed Rush, the head of officials in the Pac-12, is obviously under fire. Larry Scott, the commissioner, has conducted an internal investigation and so forth. He said comments were made in jest, that the official that teed up Sean Miller did not get $5,000, did not, by the way, get, get a trip to Cancun. So, I think the most important thing out of this is we find out what the truth is first, then we can make a call on the air as to whether he should keep his job or not. I am not into fire him, get rid of him. I've never called for the firing of a coach, manager, but never have. There's a reason for it. I think people get too, again, emotion comes into it. And what did I say yesterday? That you have to make sure that you, if you wanted the job as a general manager or a club president or a commissioner, what do you have to have?
You have to be level-headed. And you have to make unemotional decisions.
Unemotional decisions. It's also important to surround yourself with loyal people. Now, Ed Rush, it should be pointed out, has not been that popular among the officials in the Pac-12. the Pac-12 officiating is a bit different than officiating in the Big Ten. Pac-12 is, I've done enough games out on the coast, more finesse. You can't get away with as much. So, and we have to get to something that is a side story, but important. A Philadelphia cheesesteak shop has officially been rebranded after years of racial controversy over its name. Chink's Steaks, which has been referenced on this show before,
yes,
is now Joe's Steaks and Soda Shop. Now, Joe, Dick and I know Joe. Joe had been the cook for years there and then eventually bought it. This is Joe Groh, by the way. Okay. And you'll see Joe in the front. Dick and I will walk in. Steve, Dick, how are you? He's you know, up there in Torsdale. And we have referenced Chink's before in the year, have we not?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have drooled when you have mentioned it and described it to me.
It is, look, you got Geno's and Pat's, whatever. Those are the tourist traps. This place has had. They're the tourist traps. Hey, Geno's, Pat, right? Meanwhile, this place
Who needs
like,
Froders now? You got Steve Jones writing his own travel books.
Excuse me. I can give you a rundown of restaurants across the country. I go a lot of places.
I understand.
Hey, they're tourist traps. Hey, this is the best cheesesteak in the city up in the northeast section. But for years, they've been crushed by the name. So now it's going to be called Joe's Steaks and Soda Shop. We've had issues over the years, but I'm hoping to put that all behind me now and move on, said Joe Groh, my man Joe. Bruce took down the shop's 64-year-old sign Monday and replaced it with a 50s-themed marquee. A sign on the shop's front door read, same owner, same 64-year-old recipes, different name. Shop's name, of course, grew out of a nickname bestowed upon founder Sam Chink Sherman. Neighborhood kids gave Sherman the name because, quote, his eyes appeared slanty according to his widow. Sherman died in 1997. Groh eventually bought the shop, keeping the name until now. Asian American groups have petitioned for a change. Among the groups, the Philadelphia Bar Association, which passed a resolution opposing the use of racial slurs and business names in 2008. The resolution specifically cited the steak shop and Groh. After hearing Groh plan to rename the restaurant, Stella Shy, Pacific Bar Association of Pennsylvania, was encouraged. Said, we have really worked hard with the community to persuade Mr. Groh to change the name. It was a surprise. Said her organization was among the advocacy groups fighting for the renaming. Longtime customers were mixed, but all vowed to support the shop. I can tell you I will definitely go back. So I'm happy Joe did this, by the way. Nobody will come here. It's been around for a long time. I see no change. Said customer Robert Fox. They make great steaks and milkshakes, by the way, my man. Great milkshakes. I'm sorry they had to change it, but it's not going to affect his business. In fact, it might help it, said Dorothy Callahan. Groh said a lot of people are going to be very upset. He says they think I'm bending to the PC police, but you know, as I said, it's my decision. I feel in my heart it's the right thing to do. Hey, he owns it, and he's put his name on it. In fact, he can now go with a sign out there that says, Eat at Joe's.
I think that's trademarked. I'm not quite sure.
Oh, the heck with it. So, yes, the big change was made. It's now Joe's. Torsdale in Philadelphia. Unofficial sponsor of the Tuesday get-together on WKOK.
Do we get food out of that?
Yes, we do.
No. I know better. There's no we involved in that.
Admittedly, I've never paid a dime there.
Yeah, there's a surprise.
What?
I'm just saying, I'm not surprised. Not surprised.
What? You have anger issues.
I think it's jealousy more than anger.
No, you have anger issues.
I'll agree with jealousy.
Anger.
I'll agree with jealousy.
Top of the eighth, Orioles lead Tampa Bay 2-1.
What about the Raiders deal to get Carson or send Carson Palmer to the Cardinals for a seventh rounder?
They got Matt Flynn. That's what Palmer's value is going to be in the open market right now. I mean, what do you think his value is? First round, second round? I mean, just because they were dumb enough, literally dumb enough to make the trade the first time when they gave away a lot.
I think the Cardinals got a deal.
The Cardinals do. The Cardinals are fine.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals got a deal. They give up a seventh round pick for a guy who threw, I think, did he throw for 4,000 last year?
4,000 yards, yeah. Is 14 picks.
Then there's a quarterback change in Cleveland, too. Movement, I should say, not a change.
Well, but yeah, Colt McCoy moved out, yeah. So.
Are you surprised with the recent trades here with a little less than a month to go before the draft?
No. I mean, what's really significant here?
No, I'm just asking. I don't.
Matt Flynn was going to be a backup with Seattle, so he gets an opportunity to start with Oakland. Carson Palmer really wanted Oakland. That's why it's interesting. He refused to restructure his deal with Oakland, but the second he got to Arizona, he did restructure. He was going to get $13 million with the Raiders this year. He refused to restructure. The second he got to the Cardinals, he restructured at 2 years, $16 million. Interesting, isn't it? The Cardinals sent the second of their sixth-round picks, 176th overall pick.
But the Cardinals now have, what, six quarterbacks on their roster?
Well, no, John Skelton was released.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about
Kevin
that.
Kevin Cobb is now with Buffalo. And he gets to hook up with Larry Fitzgerald, who's going to be the happiest guy in Arizona. All right, let's go to Dan and Shemokin. Hi, how you doing today? Great to have you with us.
All right, I'm on my way to work here. I just want a quick question on Penn State. I don't know if you've discussed
yes, sir.
It before. I don't get to see or listen to your show every day. The deal with the Virginia game, I'm a season ticket holder, and I just have a feeling that they used us to bring a big name in last year for a home game for them and then back out of them coming up to play us. What's the compensation for that?
There is compensation involved because they're not going to be showing up here. Virginia is going to replace Penn State on the schedule down there with Oregon, and it's going to be a second home game for them instead of having to play on the road. In return, of course, there's some money involved, but Penn State actually gets a tougher opponent out of this. Central Florida won 10 games last year. Virginia won 4. So for Penn State, even though name recognition-wise, it may not seem like an upgrade, in terms of the quality of opponent, it is an upgrade.
It just seemed like it was a better game for Virginia because of being closer and more alumni involved. And I don't know. It's just seemed unfair that they backed out of it, you know, at the last minute. I just wonder what the compensation would be with that.
Well, it's written in the contract, and I don't know what the compensation is. I'll give you an example. Penn State was supposed to play Arkansas State in 2008, and I think Penn State paid Arkansas State $400,000 to get out of the contract because Penn State felt it needed to upgrade its, in a football term, it's RPI, and they got Oregon State to come in for one game. So they paid Oregon State $800,000. They paid Arkansas State, I think, $400,000 to get out of that contract so they could play Oregon. So Penn State's done it before, and Arkansas State benefited because the buyout is in the contract specifically. So Penn State gets bought out. Virginia doesn't have to come here. Penn State instead gets Central Florida, which probably is actually a better team at this stage than Virginia to come here. And Penn State gets a trip to Orlando the year after.
Yeah, that's a benefit, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, see what I mean? That's how it worked out. Now, the only question is,
in Orlando do you play the game? Because Central Florida has built an on-campus stadium, which is about 45,000-50,000. But financially, you'd actually be better off if you played in the Citrus Bowl that has 72,000. So they still have to work that part of it out, but they get to go to Orlando in 14 and then have them come here this year.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think that I think it'll end up being a win-win. I think it works out. And Central Florida won 10 games last year and actually had a better year than Virginia. So
I want a deal with, like, Penn State playing Syracuse at the Meadowlands.
Right.
What would put the split be on that? Is that Syracuse's home game?
Yeah, it is Syracuse's home game. So they're in charge. And by designating it, it's their home game. Penn State gets a guarantee out of it, so there will not be a gate receipt split or whatever. Penn State, I believe, gets a guarantee out of this. It's a one-shot deal, but Syracuse is on the schedule in 19 and 20 later in the decade, where it's a home and away.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to get out there and see a game. Remember the last time we were out, I think it was the Georgia Tech game.
Oh, come on, man. The Meadowlands. Sure. In fact, I worked that game that night. Absolutely. Penn State, Georgia Tech was the defending national champion, and Penn State kicked the living daylights out of them in the kickoff classic.
Right. They lit them up. That was a good game. But then you got to remember the Nebraska game, though, too.
So,
there was a lot of good memories on that one.
The Nebraska game actually got me a job on the Penn State Football Network.
That's what it was.
Here's the reason why. Nebraska's playing Penn State. It was 1983. Fran Fisher had retired. Gil Santos had been brought in as the play-by-play guy. John Grant was the color analyst. Well, they had restructured everything on the radio network. This was the first year of the New Deal. Well, they do a one-hour post-game show, and they have nothing in the locker room because they have no way of getting there. And they sat down after the game and had a meeting, and they said, look, we have to do something about this. We actually need a third person. And John Grant said, well, gee, what about Steve Jones? He could be the third person. And that's how I broke in the very next game as the third announcer of the Penn State Football Network.
It's great the way things worked out. I mean,
At least for me it was. It may not be for you, but it worked out okay for me.
Yeah, that was a terrible game. I remember that.
Yeah, 44-6. That was brutal. Brutal.
Of course, there was. I remember when we went up to Syracuse that one year too. I think when McNabb played, and I was never in the dome up there, and we had seats all the way up at the top. And when he lit the place up with that first touchdown pass, I couldn't hear it for like a week. I mean, it was deafening in that place. They went on, I guess it was like 48-14 or something like that.
It was Don McPherson.
Oh, McPherson. All right, yeah.
Don McPherson was the quarterback. They lit up Penn State. It was 1987, the first time Syracuse had beaten Penn State since 1970. So, they were thrilled beyond words.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was a long ride home that day. So.
Yeah, I remember it. I remember it was a long ride home.
I miss all those games, though. Syracuse, West Virginia. Maryland was always a good game. Rutgers and Boston College. They were within reach that you could go to an away game. You know, it was great.
That is a great point, and that is a point I have made in several interviews, by the way, Don, to other outlets that have asked me about Big Ten expansion with Maryland and Rutgers. I've mentioned repeatedly that Penn State fans have missed the ability to drive to Pitt, drive West Virginia, drive to Syracuse, drive to Rutgers, drive to Maryland, drive to Temple for games. They missed that. But I said now by getting Maryland and Rutgers in, Penn State is what has to this point been the easternmost outpost, now is going to have two regional teams, regional schools, that will at least bring some of that feeling back.
Yeah, that's the good part of it there. I dealt with Rutgers and Maryland. I had a nephew that went to Rutgers, and we were down there for a game. I forget who they played that time. That was a pretty raucous crowd, too. And just a whole different setup from sort of like a Syracuse setup where they bus you in from the parking lot and all because it's a stadium right on campus there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you go to MetLife Stadium, and you got plenty of parking all around it. It's really, I give the Meadowlands people a lot of credit. It is a really well done, fan friendly setup there.
Yeah, my in-laws all live in Jersey, and I sort of ask the people down there, you know, what are you going to do when a Nebraska comes in, when a Michigan comes in? Are you going to play at the Meadowlands or whatever? Really, I guess it's up in the air. If it's a big game, they're both ranked or anything like that, then it only makes sense to move it over there if they possibly could.
Yeah, High Point Stadium on the campus at Rutgers seats 52,000. The new MetLife Stadium seats 82,000. So if they think they can get 30,000 more seats to have a Michigan or somebody like that come in, or an Ohio State or a Penn State, if they feel that's the route to go and they can make money out of it, because remember, they have to pay rent. So if it's worth their while. The other part, too, is in the Big Ten, you have to remember you have to split the gate.
Right.
So.
Now, one other question. Did you ever think Penn State would play a Thursday night game like most of these other conferences are playing?
No, I don't. Penn State was only scheduled one time to play a Thursday night game, Don, and that was September 13th, 2001. And, of course, we know why it didn't get played, because on September 11th, 2001, we were brutally attacked.
Right.
And that game got moved back to December 1st. I think the in the Big Ten, they want to keep it on Saturday. And they've opened up the door for Saturday night games in November, right? But there will not be Thursday night. There will not be Thursday night games involving Big Ten teams unless it's an opening game of the season.
Yeah, that's a good thing to hear, because I think the attendance would be hurt.
I do too. I agree with you completely. I agree with you completely, and you are right on the mark. And fans and how they feel about things need to be taken into consideration every step of the way. That's why I've said you have to create a fan-friendly environment in your stadium. You know, I know it costs money, but you need to have HD boards, which they're going to be doing at Penn State. You know, the NFL is going to be experimenting with that laser first and 10 line. If it works, I think college ought to go with it. You have to do everything you can to make sure that the stadium experience is better than the home experience.
Yeah, definitely. You got to keep people coming and put them in the
seat. No question. You are right on.
That's where the money is.
You are right on.
Yeah, definitely. All right, thanks a lot. Nice talking to you.
Hey, it's great talking with you. All right, back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Jason Johnson on our Facebook site. Posted he's going to wear to the blue-white game a shirt that says SJS on the front or whatever. And then...
Yeah, it has our Steve Jones Show logo on the front. Yeah.
Right. And in the back, the United States, and it says, from sea to shining sea, all for a nominal fee.
And the podcast is free.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks to Matt Shepard. Check out the podcast. Check out what the play-by-play voice of Michigan had to say about the Final Four. Tomorrow we're going to have Wheels on the show. Dick Girardi on Thursday.
You got to ask him. Make sure you ask him about Doc. Is it a worry or is it just him?
Oh.
Is it just that way in the spring?
Look, all this was done to increase church attendance for you, okay? So he goes out and pitch, you attend.
I'll see you tomorrow night. I think he's going tomorrow night.
He is going tomorrow night. Wills is on tomorrow. So we'll talk about Doc.
Thank you.
You are just such a worrywart.